I sound more like a whale than a cow. Jeez, well, whales kind of run around herd too. But I always call it cows because I'm from cow country. And you can see the cows. It's just kind of always looking around, looking at what the other cows are doing, and basically try to do the same thing the other cows are doing. I also, in a very nominal way, work in the agricultural field. I'm actually a computer technician, but most of my customers are agricultural workers, people who provide for the needs of agriculture. So it's interesting. I was going by a dairy not long ago, and of course you see all the cows, kind of feedlot mentality that we tend to have. We have feedlots, we have dairies, and there's a whole bunch of cows compressed in a small space. Smells bad. Certainly not natural. They try to be hygienic, but it's hard. Cows put out a lot of garbage, and they dump it everywhere. It's interesting. Every single pen, and you might have 20, 30, 40, 50 cows in each pen, has this big pile in the middle. You know, I don't know if it's made that way or if the cows just produce that pile. It looks like a big pile of cow poop. Manure sounds better. We always give it a better name so it doesn't sound so tacky. So anyway, they make this big pile in the middle, and the grand majority of the cows will just congregate around this pile. They'll be on top of it. They'll be standing around on the side of it, which can't be comfortable at all, and they'll be lying nuzzled right up against it. Number one, it's good because, let me tell you, a manure power pile puts out some heat. It's pretty warm by those things. It's not a bad thing, it's just the way it is. You could produce quite a bit of heat just by the bacterial action of that stuff trying to be broken down. Anyway, we talk about this for the simple reason that that people are the same way. We tend to congregate in pretty smelly places. And it's because we're a bunch of gosh darn cows. You know? Our favorite thing is to look at what everybody else is doing and try as hard as we can to fit in with them. We've glorified sports heroes. I think that's in the past. Now we glorify whoever gets the most time on television. And I guess it depends on what kind of television you watch as to what that is. It tends to be lifestyles of the rich and famous type of stuff. You know, it has a lot to do with entertainers. Entertainers make a whole ton of money for having, honestly, not a terrible amount of talent, you know? It doesn't take a lot of skill to be an actor. Now, if you're a good actor, that takes more skill. But the people who make the most money aren't necessarily the good actors. The best actors aren't the big movie stars. There's a lot more to being a big movie star than just, you know, being a talented actor. You're most likely to have big movie stars among people who are beautiful, gorgeous, you know, or have a certain look or a certain feel. They've been in a couple of movies that have done very, very well. And there it is. And it kind of makes this whole kind of thing around being beautiful, about girls being really kind of slinky, you know, dressing really provocatively, you know. Guys are getting into the whole baggy sport clothes. because their idols tend to be like that. We have this whole attitude of following idols and of trying to be like your idol, whether that's good or not. By and large, I think that usually turns out to be somewhat of a bad thing. It's sad that we have to feel like we have to follow somebody rather constantly. You know, in the way we dress, the way we act, the way we enunciate our words. These things identify us with groups. And of course, people get upset because they go, well, I'm not like that. I dress like an absolute whore, but I don't want to be treated like one. And you go, and so people say, well, I'm sorry. People get this vision in their head that when you dress up in leather and you have your blouse all the way down to your navel and they can see half your breast, that they get an impression about you, that you're easy or that you want sex or something like that. And people get so, they get so stupid. Like they say, oh, well, you shouldn't think that. I've got a mind. I've got a brain. I'm different than everybody else. You go, no, you're not. If you were different from everybody else, you would behave differently. You're not. You behave like everybody else because you're like everybody else. That's why we bring up the whole, that's why I bring up the whole cow thing. We really do tend to be cattle. We tend to be followers. You don't have our independent thoughts, independent things that we do. Oh, I wish we would be more like that. What we've been talking about before about school. School's biggest thing is in the name of efficiency, we try to make people as uniform as we can. Because if people are uniform, certain techniques will work, and will work pretty consistently. So we need people who pretty much are the same, dress the same, behave the same, or behave in or dress or act in a way that benefits the school as much as they can. Unfortunately, that's been painted as something called good citizenship. Good citizenship means that you behave as you're told to behave. Unfortunately, this all gets put into the way things are. Everything is considered to be good. And we don't spend a lot of time saying, wait, hold it. This isn't good. We don't want people to be like this. But there's plenty of people that either profit off of people being uniform or that have an easier life when people are uniform. So they really do want it to happen. Teachers are your first salesmen, your first enforcers of this kind of uniformity code. You know? Oh, they always say, oh, parents are your first teachers. You go, no, your parents, if they're any kind of respectable parents at all, will actually be working against the schools quite often because they want you to become your own person. Well, maybe they do. For all I know, you know, parents have become so much stooges of the school because schools teach them how to be good parents, and most of their attitude about good parenting is to actually make it so the schools have an easier time. You know, good parents get their kids to school on time. Good parents make sure their kids are fed before they come to school, so school doesn't have to worry about that. Good parents help their kids with all the homework we dump on them every single night. Good parents do this, and good parents do that. And you're going, you know what? Parents who are defined as good in our society are unpaid school employees. They have to follow the marching orders of school officials just as much as a paid teacher is. And that's upsetting. That upsets me. It should upset you. You know, civic responsibility to a great degree is boiled down to contributing to the PTA, for instance, or a PTO, whatever school auxiliary there is, you know. And it mostly has to do with getting your kids to buy junk food to do something for the schools. It has nothing to do with parents. They want parents to be there to actually run these things because the teachers are tired after a long day of school. They want parents to do fundraising to get the schools more money. It isn't that we give 3/4 of our tax money, and we're quite heavily taxed, to education, to supporting this whole thing. We're also expected to go out and do fundraising, usually rotting our children's teeth at the same time we're doing it. It's always funny. I always like it when they have, like, Dental Health Week, and on Friday, to reward the kids for doing a good job, they'll say, well, we're going to have a pizza party. We need every, or we're going to have the PTO selling candy for fundraising. So we just, you know, it's going to cost, you know, and you pay $1 for a piece of candy that costs 20 cents. And, you know, they pocket the other 80. And you go, wait a minute. So why don't I just give the darn PTO this much money and not rot my kids' teeth? You know, and you say, why am I trying to teach my kids to be above eating candy all the time? What we're really saying is, every time we need money, we coerce your kids, and we appeal to their baser nature, sweet. To do it. It's just like the whole thing about having Coke machines or Pepsi machines in your thing. In the name of fundraising, we'll bring in all Coke machines or all Pepsi machines, and Coke or Pepsi will pay us a portion of the proceeds of that to make it happen. Is that good? Is that a good thing to do for kids? Besides even the sugar, even if they take out stuff and they only put in bottled water and apple drinks, juices and fruit things, even if they just do that with nothing else, you know, does that really matter? It's still being done the same way. It's still its base. Your kids being manipulated for profit. And honestly, down to its deepest level, that's all education is. You have to understand what your local school really is. It's a contract letting outfit. There's this massive amount of money those guys get. And there's all kinds of things that need to be done. Plumbing, electrical repair, computer repair, which is what I was into during all that. All these things they get contracted for. Who's going to profit off of this? Who's not going to? Anyway. You know, which textbook companies are going to make the most money? Who's going to set the curriculum for this year? It has very little to do with the teachers. The teachers do mostly what the textbooks say. Why? Because, number one, it's easier. And that's really the whole point of why teachers do basically what teachers do. Because it's easier. Let's be honest. You know, you follow lesson plans, you do stuff like that. Teachers who feel like they're doing a great job, they might do a little bit more. and they do it for fun. I'm not saying teachers are evil. Some teachers don't understand what they're really into, what they really do. They have a very inflated view of what they do. They think they're saving the world. They think they're God's gift to children. I'm not saying that they're not contributing to kids' education. I think they think they're real hot stuff, and I do think that deep down in the training of teachers, they do try to give them a basic idea that if there were not teachers, all children would be stupid. Children would not be able to do what children, what adults can do unless they go to school. So it's almost ingrained in them that's true. And you know what? That's a big, big, big lie. It's not true at all. People can educate themselves. In fact, in our present society, it's even more true than it's ever been before. School is actually becoming less and less relevant every day, especially the way school is being done. Of course, people are always kind of questioning, well, what kind of reforms do we have to do? Are we teaching the right things? And they'll go into, right now I think the big thing is career preparation. There's a lot of time and effort being put into career preparation. Can you write a resume? Can you do all these things? Preparation for getting hired by a company, a big company, if you can get it, big corporation. That's kind of the mindset that's out there anymore. Of course, you know, these things are done at the state level. Every state tends to have a big metropolitan center, and that big metropolitan center takes precedence over everything else and what's important. So you tend to get standards that have to be met. The state sets them based on what the largest city needs, because that's the biggest amount of kids they're dealing with. I live in the middle of nowhere. Every school around me is superfluous to all this stuff. You know? The decisions that get made in my state capital have absolutely no input from people in my area. And I mean, it might technically be there, but nobody's really going to listen to them, because they go, well, how many students do you have? Well, I have 300. And they go, let's talk to the Albuquerque School District. How many students do you have? Well, we have, 200,000. You go, oh, I think we're going to do what Albuquerque needs, because that's going to touch the most kids. And that's kind of how that sucker works. And I'm not saying, oh, you should pity me and be angry, and that all of a sudden my school district would be much more responsive if the state would just listen to my particular local needs. I'm not saying that. I don't think school can ever do that. School has to, by and large, be kind of the same everywhere it goes. Now, it may be better in some locations than others. It may produce higher grades. Kids may be introduced to certain concepts earlier. And you might say, ooh, that must be a better school. And that's usually the criteria. You know, I remember I started third grade in Texas. And I was in an accelerated program. I was in a classroom with mostly fourth graders and with a few really advanced third graders. I was one of the advanced third graders. And we were just working along, and I was doing fine. I moved to New Mexico and went to the regular third grade class there. They didn't have this kind of interesting, we're going to put kids up at the next grade level. I struggled horribly there because in my third, fourth grade class in Texas, we were barely starting to work on our multiplication table. And in the third grade class that I went to in New Mexico, they were already getting into simple division problems, and I was struggling. I finally got up to speed, and everything was okay. It was just interesting how different it was, but it's only a difference in degree, you know? It's not really, oh boy, Texas schools are screwed up, and the next schools are good. It's not true. All schools are screwed up. Because they're honestly, their last thought in school is the education of children. It's the whole cluster of things that need to be done around schools that's the primary interest, you know. Who has the contract to take out our garbage? Who has, who are we going to go with to do our textbook? We need to increase efficiency, you know. You don't spend your time worried about one or two kids with special problems. Except the state kind of pays you more when you have special kids, but you still try as hard as you can to get only slightly special kids so that you can get that money, but you don't really have to spend it. That's kind of the game everybody plays. My school district right now, we're always in constant fight with the schools because my oldest son, Matthew, he is autistic. He has trouble. And we have to have these special education plans for him. It's mandated by law. They put this law in because lawmakers were, number one, wanting to look like they cared. Number two, they were trying to assert their authority over education. And I don't know what other reasons they have. You know, I don't think every day about other people's motivations. Mostly for political gain, for whatever. It is also pushed by special education teachers. There are teachers that get paid more to special ed, and it's always an important thing. Teachers are always constantly scrabbling to try to make themselves look more important and better, because when they go and they start yelling and screaming about getting more money, in my town it's just upsetting because they already make more than everybody else does for not actually doing a whole lot, for actually the least amount of hours invested. And for what they actually do, we actually pay teachers like they're gods, or we treat them like gods, and we want to pay them, and we treat them, we want them to get the pay that gods would get, so they constantly demand it. We need a pay increase. They get bigger pay increases than anybody in any other industry I've ever seen. Over the long haul, it's consistently huge. And you go, but their results, and it's funny to measure results for school, and they constantly fight measuring themselves that way, because, number one, it's difficult, and it takes up a lot of time, and number two, it's hard to come up with a useful thing. You know, because they go, well, I've got a bunch of kids that are dummies. You can't fault me because I started out with crappy kids and I rose them up to this level, and all of a sudden, you know, and all of a sudden now my pay increase depends upon the fact that all my kids make A's. And you go, so what happens? They lower their standards so all their kids can make A's. And then all of a sudden they're this great, gosh dang, fantastic teacher. And they get a big pay increase. Anyway, we'll get back to this. The time's up. We'll talk a little bit more about stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about teacher education, I bet, too. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemro. Don't be a cow. Just keep ripping into education next time. Bye.